Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 16. We're going to be reading verse 2 and 3. And here we see when God miraculously and powerfully delivered Israel from slavery to Egypt, He also intended to bring them into a promised land flowing with blessing and flowing with prosperity. Amen? But when you read through the Old Testament, you read through the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers in particular, you'll see that the children of Israel didn't really want to cooperate with the plan designed to benefit them. Amen? God had a plan for them, and they just rebelled against the plan of God in their life. We see that what they did was complain and fight against God almost every step of the way. Pastor Karen and I have been doing a devotional and reading through this, and as I was reading through this last week, it just kind of really struck me, and I was like, wow, you know, a lot of similarities that we see. You know, God wants to bring us to a place of blessings, yet many times our own worst enemy is ourselves. Amen. It's all right to say amen. I'll be the first one to tell you, amen, that God's still working on me. We're not finished products, as we talked about last week. Amen. But in the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers, there's 14 different accounts where the children of Israel complained about what was going on in their lives at that time. Some of it before they left Egypt, and others when they were in the wilderness. And here in chapter 16, we find a fourth time that they voiced their dissatisfaction with what was happening. So here in verse 2, it says, "And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel," it just wasn't a few people. Right? It says, "The whole congregation, 600,000 men, and then their wives and their families," okay? It was a big complaint department. "The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the sons of Israel said to them, 'Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.'" Here we see the children of Israel beginning to complain that they didn't have enough food. The supplies they carried with them from Egypt must have begun to run out. But as you read through their complaint and you read through the rest of the book of Exodus and Numbers, it would seem that their starvation and their complaint was more about an expectation of what was going to happen and what was going to go wrong than what was actually happening. There's nothing written about them going for extended periods of time without food. There's no account of anyone perishing because of starvation. They apparently still had livestock. They hadn't killed any of them or killed all of them for food, because later on they had plenty of them. They had plenty to offer for sacrifices. Instead, they began to imagine the worst was going to happen. How many times do we get into that? We imagine the bad things that are going to happen in our lives. A thought sneaks in. Well, how are you going to be able to handle this? Or how are you going to be able to handle that? They forgot all about what had transpired in the past few weeks and forgot about who their God was, and they started thinking on the wrong things. They have selective memory. It said, when we sat by the pots of meat and we ate bread to the full, they remembered the past and thought of their time in Egypt as a good time. That's what they said, right? You brought us out here to kill us all. Man, if we were still in Egypt, we would have pots of meat to eat, we'd have bread to eat, and we could just stuff ourselves. It was so good there. They lost sight of God's future for them. And they also twisted the past to support their complaints. How many times do we kind of twist how things actually are? Amen? You brought us into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly. Israel's response to God's spectacular deliverance of them from Egypt is not praise and worship and wholehearted trust. Instead, Israel responds with, "Where's the water at, Moses? Where's the beef, Moses? I've got blisters on my feet, Moses. Who died and left you in charge, Moses? Are we there yet, Moses?" I mean, their complaints vary all over the place. One commentator called it spiritual amnesia. And they suffered it very quickly. Amen? This spiritual amnesia, they forgot about God's deliverance and His provision. And it turned out to be deadly to many of them over the time. The people of Israel, on the heels of unthinkable miracles, with their pockets full of Egyptian silver and gold. Remember, it says in Exodus chapter 12 that they went and they asked, God said, go ask your neighbors for these things. And they asked them for silver, and they asked them for gold, and they asked them for their clothing. And it says they spoiled the Egyptians. The Egyptians just said, here, take all this stuff and just get out. After witnessing the miracle of the Red Sea and the destruction of their enemy, they take their eyes off of God and they begin to focus on human things. How are they going to handle things? The issue is they didn't have any faith in God. Amen? Look who their complaints against. It's not against God. It says it's against Moses and against Aaron. Because that's who they were trusting to lead them. Amen? They were looking to man as their source instead of looking to God. Instead of developing their faith and seeking after God's will for their life, they continued to look at Moses and Aaron for all their answers. Amen? If you're constantly looking to a man for your answers and direction in your life, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to be unhappy. Amen? Look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Hallelujah. Psalm 78, verse 40. Psalm 78, verse 40 through 43. The King James Version read, "How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy." It's the word that's translated limited here is the word tava. It's only used one time in the Old Testament. It means to set marks or limits. The word limited is defined in Webster's dictionary as confined within boundaries, restricted, not having absolute power. The children of Israel placed limits on God. They had diminished their expectations. That's the title of my sermon today is, What Did You Expect? Amen? Because if you are expecting the wrong things, or expecting the right things, guess what? You're going to get them. Where is your expectation? The children of Israel placed limits on God. They had diminished their expectations of what God could do and what God would do in their situation, and they did it very quickly. How quickly they focused on their circumstances and put their own limits on God's intervention in their lives by failing to remember the demonstration of His power and the signs and the wonders they had witnessed. As we've seen, they forgot about God altogether. They took God out of the equation. Amen? Moses and Aaron, you brought us out here to die. Their complaint wasn't against God, but against Moses. This account that we read in chapter 16 takes place between the time they left Egypt and after the crossing of the Red Sea and when God came down to Mount Sinai. It says in chapter 16 there, where we read in verse 1, it says, the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. 45 days, roughly. After God had miraculously delivered them from Egypt, 45 days after God had brought them out with a powerful, mighty hand, 40 to so days, we don't know how long it was, and it doesn't really tell us the parting of the Red Sea, but they were out in the wilderness, and God was leading them with the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And Pharaoh had the change of heart, and he came after them, and God did the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea, and they crossed over. And Pharaoh and his army were swallowed up by the Red Sea when he came back in. Amen. But within 45 days after seeing God just do miraculous things, they forgot all about it. Amen. The thing is, when we think about it, we too often limit God. Not deliberately, but we still often diminish our expectations of His unlimited power on our behalf. Another definition of limit is defined as the point or line or edge where something ceases to be or to be possible. We basically begin to look at our situation and consider it to be more powerful than the God we serve. That's exactly what the children of Israel did. Amen? Remember, Webster's one of the things is not having absolute power. When the definition of limited. Our God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. Amen? Hallelujah. We doubt His constant willingness to bless us and be involved in our lives on a daily basis. Hopefully you're still there in Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Praise the Lord. But if you go up a few verses, and I'll read from the Amplified, in verse 19, 78, 19, and 20, it says, yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God furnish the food for a table in the wilderness? Behold, he did smite the rock so that waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. But can he give us bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? So, here they are saying, well, God did that, but can he do this? Well, God may have done that in your life, but can he handle this? That's what they're saying. Amen. Well, God, we complain that God provided us with water, but can he provide us with bread? Can he provide us with meat? Limiting God. Amen. Just because, listen, this is important to remember. Just because something miraculous happens in your life does not mean that you have faith. Did they have faith? If they did, it was very short-served. In 14:31, in Exodus 14:31, Exodus 14:31, it says, when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Yet how quickly they abandoned their belief. Amen? They believed in God and they believed in Moses, yet throughout the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers, you see time and time again that they wanted to get rid of Moses. Give us a new leader. Amen? You don't know what you're doing, Moses. Even his brother and his sister tried to usurp and take over. Amen? They just, whatever. They didn't have any true faith. They believed in God because of what they seen at that particular moment. Amen? Faith is a firm persuasion. If you're not firmly persuaded about the things of God, it's going to just leave you. Well, God may have done that for you in the past. God may have met that need in the past. But is he going to do it today? Yes. He will. If you don't get over into unbelief and you don't limit God, amen? He is all powerful. He can do anything that he wants to do. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Everybody doing okay this morning? About to get to the good stuff. Amen. Hebrews 3, 8. Hebrews 3, chapter 3, verse 8 through 14. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, don't harden your hearts against him as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested God's patience in the wilderness. There your ancestors tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. Just because you see miracles and things happen doesn't mean that you're not going to walk away from God and rebel against God. Amen. So I was angry with them, and I said, their heart always turns away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I made a vow. They will never enter my place of rest. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning away from the living God. You must warn each other every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will all share in all that belongs to Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to get it settled in our own minds and develop our faith to the point that we have faith that there is no limits restricting God. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. If the same God who delivered the children of Israel by a strong and mighty hand, it says, and blessed them and desired to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey, a place of blessedness, the same God who sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you and for me, and subjected him to beatings and taking all of our sins upon him and carrying our sicknesses and our disease and nailing them to the cross, and who was raised again on the third day. He did all of that for our justification so that we could become the righteousness of God through faith in him. He did all that for us. Amen. Says he changes not. The same God who did all that. If he did all that for you 2,000 years ago, what makes you think that he doesn't want to bring you into a place of blessedness today? A place of peace in your life. You shouldn't have fear in your life. You shouldn't have lack in your life. You shouldn't have sickness in your life. Amen? The same God who wants to do all those things. Genesis 18:14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Amen? See, the only limits that there are for what God would do in your life are the limits that you place on him. Well, God doesn't. He couldn't possibly love me enough to bless me. Pastor Will, that's just too good to be true. No, that's what the Word says. Amen? Praise the Lord. Matthew 19:26 says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You know, there's some areas that we put limits on God. As I was preparing this, there's four areas that really, and there's more areas. All of us have areas in our own lives where we put limits on God. Let's just be truthful. Areas we put limits on God are where we have diminished expectations. Number one is the miraculous. Many people think miracles were only for the early church. They were only for the apostles. They were only when Jesus was here. You know that God's still working miracles today? Amen? Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews 13:18 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus performed miracles that we read about in the Gospels, and he performed them all over the place. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he still wants to perform miracles today. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, the Message paraphrase reads, "The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I'll do it." That's how the Father will be seen for who He is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I'll do. Hallelujah. Amen. But why are we seeing that? Because people don't believe it. We limit God. Well, that's just for the early church. That was just to get the church started. No, it's not. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that God is a God that does not change, miracles are still available today. Amen? Neither God the Father nor Jesus Christ, His Son, has changed. They worked miracles among the people in old times. They continue to work miracles in modern times. Ephesians 3, verse 20. The Message paraphrase says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Hallelujah. Don't limit God. Amen. You need a miracle in your life today? Don't just ask for a little of God's help. Ask Him for the whole thing. You're not beggars begging for bread. You're children of the Most High God, is what the Word says. Amen? Don't limit God. Don't limit what God wants to do in your life. Praise the Lord. 1 John 5:14, the Amplified reads, "And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens to and hears us. And if since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us in our present possessions the request made of Him." Hallelujah. You need to become convinced in your own heart that God wants to meet that need. And then you need to ask Him for it. And you need to trust Him and believe and not just give up. 45 days in, well, God must not want me to have that. Amen? If He promises it to you in His Word, it's yours. Well, can I believe God to win the lottery? I don't see lottery in here anywhere. Amen? I don't see lottery faith in here anywhere. It does say that my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Amen? Well, you don't know what my need is. No, but He does. And He's a big God. Amen? And He can lay it on somebody's heart to write out a check to take care of that big need that you have. You think so? I know so. Amen? He can have somebody slip you a couple $100 in the Pentecostal handshake. Slip it in there and you're like, what is that? And you look down and there's a couple $100. And you're like, ooh, I needed $198 to pay that bill tomorrow. And look what God did.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Well, how do you know that? Because I've had it happen. So have other people. Amen? Get home and there's an envelope in your on your front porch, and you're like, well, what is this? And it's a cashier's check. Somebody had made out to you. They didn't want to know So you didn't know where it came from. Amen? God wants to meet your need. Don't limit Him to the miraculous. Hallelujah. Another place we limit God is healing. Throughout the Gospels, it says Jesus healed everybody who came to Him in faith. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Peter healed individuals and he healed multitudes. Amen? The Apostle Paul had a remarkable record of ministering divine healing to people. Philip had great healings in Samaria. God, through a disciple named Ananias, healed Paul's blindness. Not just Jesus, but believers consistently healed the sick. Do not limit God to healing only while Jesus walked the earth. Amen? Do not limit God to healing only through the apostles. It's the honor and the privilege of every believer to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Mark chapter 16. Amen. Well, why don't we see more people getting healed? Because we limit God. We're told from the pulpits many times that it's not God's will for people to be healed. You're not going to hear that from this pulpit. I guarantee you that. Amen. Throughout the Bible, not just New Testament, but Old Testament, God is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Exodus 23, 25 and 26 says, "Worship the Lord your God, and His blessing will be on your food and water. I will take sickness from among you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the Lord who will take sickness from among you. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Taking away of sickness is one of God's blessings for the worshiper of God or the child of God. Psalm 103, verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits." Hallelujah. God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of servitude, a type and shadow of people being in bondage to the sinful nature, being in slavery to the god of this world. He brought them out, delivered them, brought them through the Red Sea. Amen? Brought them in, wanted to bring them into a place of blessing. But they rebelled against Him. Amen. Here we see the benefits. God wants to benefit you. He's on your side. He's not up there angry, that picture we always have of God, that white-haired, angry old guy with a lightning bolt in his hand ready to strike you down when you do something wrong. That's a picture a lot of people have of God. "Forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities." A lot of people have no problem with that. Glory to God, I've been saved from my sins. And they stop reading right there. What does the next verse say? "Who heals some of your diseases." No, it doesn't say some. It says, He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Amen. Praise the Lord. Going down to verse 10, it says, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let all your diseases mean exactly that. Don't limit God in His desire to heal you. God is not the afflicter with diseases. He's the deliverer and healer from diseases. Amen. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And a leper came to Him, begging Him on his knees. This is the Amplified. And saying to Him, If you are willing, you are able to make me clean. And being moved with pity and sympathy, Jesus reached out His hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be made clean or be made whole. I believe some. Hallelujah. The word willing there is the word philo in the Greek, and it means to be resolved or determined to purpose, to like to do a thing, to be fond of doing, to take delight in. Jesus didn't begrudgingly heal him. Amen. He took pleasure in that. It was something that he desired to do. The same way, if you have a healing need in your life, you have something wrong, He takes pleasure in that also. He's not going to begrudge you. You can't earn it. Amen? You can't get enough brownie points. Well, this sickness over here takes so many brownie points of going to church and praying, but this one over here, whew, that's a big one. What are you doing? You're limiting God. Amen? There is no limits to God. There is no limits to His healing power. There is no limits to His miraculous doing. Amen? Say, well, cancer. You can't take care of that. I've known people that they've been prayed for and they still died of cancer. Well, so have I. Also known people that God prayed for and their thing was, it felt like fire was going through their body and burning that skin cancer off of every bit of their body. Amen? Also known of people that were lying in their deathbed and were prayed for with cancer and miraculously raised up. Amen?
Amen.
Pray in faith. Don't pray with, I don't know. I don't know if it's God's will for them to be healed or not. You pray with one eye closed and one eye open. I don't want you praying for me if you're praying like that. I'm going to be honest with you. I want somebody laying hands on me and praying in faith. Amen? I don't want to know that if it be your will, Lord. I've told my sons, if they're praying like that, throw them out of my hospital room, would you? I'm just being honest with you. I want somebody in there praying in faith. Amen? Yes. Praying, Father God, just heal him right now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Glory to God. Don't limit the Lord in the realm of healing, because He is willing to heal. And if Jesus was willing to heal then, He's willing to heal today. Amen? The Word of God says, by His stripes we were healed. It's already taken place. You just need to grab a hold of it and apply it in your life. And just hold on. And just keep confessing it, that I am healed. I am healed. Every day, it doesn't matter what your body feels like, you need to confess, I'm healed. in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Don't be like the children of Israel and, well, start grumbling and complaining 45 days in. Limiting God, you brought it. Pastor Will, that stuff doesn't work. I tried, I prayed 3 days ago, nothing's happened. Well, just keep praying. Amen? If it's been a year, 2 years, whatever, keep trusting God. It says the children of Israel seen God's miracles for 40 years. And they still rebelled against Him. Another thing where we limit God is His provision. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. The Message paraphrase, I'll read it, verses 1 through 7. Here's what you do, said Elisha. Go up and down the street and borrow jugs and bowls from all your neighbors and not just a few, all you can get. Then come home and lock the door behind you, you and your sons. Pour oil into each container. When each is full, set it aside. She did what he said. She locked the door behind her and her sons. As they brought the containers to her, she filled them. When all the jugs and bowls were full, she said to her sons, another jug, please. He said, that's it. There are no more jugs. Then the oil stopped. She went and told the story to the man of God. He said, go, sell the oil and make good on your debts. Live both you and your sons on what's left. Hallelujah. God provided everything that this widow woman had need of. He didn't just settle up the debts. He gave her enough to live on. Amen. Don't limit God's ability to provide supernaturally. Hallelujah. He told Elisha in this story, he told her, don't just ask for a few. Get them all. Why? Because he knew and he understood God's unlimited ability. Amen. And His unlimited care for people. God miraculously filled every single jar and delivered the widow from her poverty. Remember Jesus miraculously multiplying the fish and the loaves. He fed 4,000. He fed 5,000. And there was more than enough. It said they all ate. Basically until they were full and there was still stuff left over. God doesn't want you living on barely getting along, street. Amen? He wants to supply all your needs. He wants you to have more than enough. What's more than enough is for you to decide. Nobody else can decide what's more than enough for you. Amen? What's more than enough for you may not be more than enough for somebody else. All your needs, whatever. Just trust God. Don't compare yourself to other people. Amen? That's getting over into the flesh. And the last thing is God's protection. The Bible abounds with examples of God's sovereign supernatural protection and deliverance for His people. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were like, we're not going to bow to your king. Our God is able to deliver us, and even if He's not, we're not bowing to you, so just go ahead and toss us in the fire. That was their mindset. People of faith, they were men of faith, man. I mean, that stinking fire was so hot it killed the guys who threw them in. Just got close enough, it killed them. And there they are walking around.
Because Jesus was in there with them.
I see. We've only three people in, and there's four people in there walking around.
Amen. Daniel in the lion's den.
Peter freed from jail by the angel.
Look at Psalm 31. We'll close with this. Psalm 31, verse 1 through 5.
Don't limit God in any area of your life. We all limit God in certain areas. Let's just be honest. Just want to encourage you today. If there are areas where you've been limiting God, take the limits off. Amen. Take the shackles off and say, you know what, God? I'm just going to trust you. Whether it's for the miraculous, whether it's for healing, whether it's for provision, or whether it's for protection here. Psalm 31, 1 through 5 says, O Lord, I have come to you for protection. Don't let me be put to shame. Rescue me, for you will always do what is right. Bend down and listen to me. Rescue me quickly. Be for me a great rock of safety, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. You are my rock and my fortress. For the honor of your name, lead me out of this peril. Pull me from the trap my enemies set for me, for I find protection in you alone. I entrust my spirit into your hand. Rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God. Hallelujah. Don't limit God's ability to protect you and your family. Amen. Pray over your family. Pray over yourself when you're driving. Amen. I mean, we shared yesterday about we got ran off the road a couple weeks ago. I said, I don't know how I missed that mailbox and that sign and everything. Well, somebody's like, well, yeah, you do. He's like, yeah, you're right. Angels right there with me, watching over me. Amen. We need to remember that. Don't limit that. Don't put yourself in a place of peril, but don't limit God taking care of you if something happens like that. Amen. I mean, there's countless stories of people being rescued by angels. Amen. Missionaries on the mission field being protected by angels. People coming to kill them, and the accounts told that all of a sudden these giant men showed up out of nowhere and just beat the tar out of the people that were coming to kill him. And they ran in terror and they were like, don't go near that dude again. Amen. Women, all of a sudden somebody appears to escort them out from their job. Hey, let me walk you to your car. Because something bad was going to happen. And people were praying for him. Walked him to the car. Never seen him again. They just vanished. Happens all the time. Amen. You just don't hear about it. But it does happen. God is there. The principle we see over and over throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's what are you expecting? Amen. If, as I said earlier, if you're expecting bad things, you ever known anybody like that? Always expecting bad things, and guess what? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Bad things are always happening in their life. Start expecting good things. Amen. Don't limit God in anywhere, in anything. Matthew 9, 28 and 30, as the worship team comes and we prepare to worship, Jesus asks us, he says, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, the blind men replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, will it be done to Hallelujah. According to your faith. The children of Israel, they had a belief, but they did not have faith in God. They believed short term. They believed every time that God did something, they believed. But they forgot about God soon afterwards. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand.